At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Beasley swings it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, lots to get into tonight here on Soccer Matters. And a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm for being our amazing presenting sponsors and bringing soccer talk to the airwaves here. In a World Cup host city, Houston, Texas. A lot of people watching on YouTube tonight. If you're there, thank you for tuning in. This show will be podcasted at ESPN975.com. Today, the 80th year anniversary of the Battle of Okinawa. And today, I think of my father and all those souls who fought for our freedom here. And bloody Pacific Battle, that's for sure. All right, tonight's show is dedicated to the life, the amazing soccer contributions, and the man himself, Hank Steinbrecher. His great friend Bill Nuttall, a former professional goalkeeper, worked with Hank at U.S. Soccer when he was a secretary general, will join us tonight. They were both teammates in college on the 1970 Davis and Elkins college squad that won the NAIA National Championship. But everybody knows these are remarkable contributions that Hank Steinbrecher has had in the world of soccer. He's survived by his wife of 53 years, Ruth Ann Steinbrecher, his sons, Chad and Corey, a stepdaughter, Shauna Moss, a sister, Mary Sirikowski, and five grandchildren. We have to mention them. Our thoughts are with them right now. Hank attended Davis and Elkins College, a small school in the hills of West Virginia, 1970 NAIA National Champions. He graduated there and then went on to get a master's degree at West Virginia University. College coaching career at Warren Wilson. Then he coached at Appalachian State. I remember that because we went down there to play Hank's teams. And then Boston University. And he was director of sports marketing at Quaker Oats. A man of immense talents, a man of immense contribution to the game of soccer in this country, coming out of that small little school that produced a lot of players and people that have continued in coaching, playing professionally, a lot of great names there. But tonight it's about Hank Steinbrecher. Big-time marketer of the sport, directly involved in developing U.S. soccer's sponsorship programs, oversaw the 1994 FIFA World Cup, 96 Summer Olympics, and 99 FIFA Women's World Cup. Stepped down in February 2000. So Bill Nuttall worked very closely with him. He's going to join us here tonight, but show dedicated tonight to Hank Steinbrecher. And one thing I know about him with my connection with him, which may not have run as deep with, you know, as the guys who played with him, but always willing to help, always willing to give you ideas, always willing to give you time, and that stretched over the course of many levels, and he was a mentor to so many, always had time for everybody, and dang, what a public speaker he was, too. Fantastic. So we'll hear from Bill Nuttall here tonight. All right, I'm going to take you into what I think was the biggest game last week, and this World Cup update is brought to you by Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. Three locations, Woodlands, I-10, and Beltway near Katy, and the original in Montrose. And the thing about this is that there was a lot of talk from Rafinha, the Brazilian attacking player, ahead of this match. And, of course, Brazil was playing Argentina. This was South American World Cup qualifying. And I will remind you that Houston, Texas, will have 7 World Cup games in 2026. So here's last week's World Cup qualifier from CONMEBOL. And this is Argentina at home in the Estadio Monumental, which is also the home of River Plate. Here's a synopsis of the goals as they absolutely dismantle Brazil.
Cobró rápido Argentina y viene tocando. Allí está Julián metiendo servicio, control, el remate, gol. Ahí va como segundo centro delantero. Acá viene Argentina. El toque para Julián. De Paul espera el arribo de Nahuel. Mete centro, remate, gol. ¡Gol de Argentina! Se duerme el Cuti Romero. Ya le quitaron la pelota. ¡Gol de Brasil! ¡Gol de Brasil! Recupera Argentina. Enzo Fernández. Allí está el remate. Gol de Argentina. Gol de Argentina. Porque llegó Tagliafico. El balón va retrasado. Pero el remate es impresionante. Gol. Gol de Argentina.
Holy smoke. I think I might want to get a few people out to go play right now. I don't know. But what emotion there, obviously, when those two great soccer-playing nations get together. Argentina now has 31 points. By the way, they played that game without Lionel Messi. They are already, under Lionel Scaloni, I believe, preparing in many ways for life after Leo Messi. So we don't know if he's going to play in the World Cup or not. I hope he plays in World Cup 2026. What's interesting about that, it was Julian Alvarez in the 4th, Enzo Fernandez the 12th, Cunha for Brazil in the 26th. That made it 2-1. Argentina then got a goal from McAllister, so it was 3-1 at halftime. The 71st-minute goal was ridiculous. Giovanni Simeone, Diego Simeone's son. They call him El Cholito. He plays for Napoli. I mean, he makes this run from an angle and just smashes. It's so oblique, you wonder how it can go in, and just hits it with absolute power. And it goes in. That is your World Cup update brought to you by Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. And, of course, 3 locations in Houston, the Woodlands for Nico Nico's, also I-10 in the Beltway near Katy, and, of course, the original in Montrose. Go to the original in Montrose one time. It's worth the trip on its own. So that's that. Argentina has 31 points, well in a good position to get into the World Cup, obviously. Ecuador at 23, Uruguay at 21, Brazil at 21, Paraguay at 21, and Colombia at 20. Top 6 go directly into the World Cup. 7th place will go into a playoff spot. That is Venezuela currently, although Bolivia has 14 points. Peru and Chile are pretty much out of it, which is, well, not necessarily, but it's hard to see Chile at the bottom of this after having won a couple of Copa Americas in recent times. Argentina's looking to win the World Cup back-to-back. It's only happened with Italy and Brazil. Nobody else has ever done it. And Brazil defensively in this looked quite the mess to me. Argentina has the most goals so far in the tournament with 26. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. As I mentioned in the third segment tonight, we will have on the Houston Dynamo president of soccer operations. That is Pat Onstad. The Dynamo are still winless after 6. They got beat 3-1 in Portland. This was a rough night for the Dynamo. I think they put a good 20 minutes together between the 45th and 65th minute. But outside of that, rough start, looked very vulnerable in transition. Not prepared to deal with Portland. You knew it was coming at you. The amount of times the Dynamo as a team got turned and were running back towards their own goal was a real tip-off to the fact that they could not get control of this game and deal with the team speed and the transition game of the Portland Timbers. It was a rainy night. Things were slick on the artificial surface. Dynamo did get a very important tying goal. Great delivery from Jack McGlynn and a fantastic finish from Franco Escobar, who at the end of the night was probably the Dynamo's best attacking player, I think. And he's your center back, right? He stayed in the attack a couple of times and offset pieces looked very dangerous. Real problem here, though, and I think this is one that's on the mind of all the fans, is the simple fact that this team doesn't get a lot of shots on goal. Shots, period, but shots on goal. So against Portland, they had one shot on goal. It's on the road. None for Ezequiel Ponce, their DP. Against Seattle, one shot on goal overall for the team. None for Ezequiel Ponce. He is your center forward that was paid, I think the Dynamo paid between $6 and $7 million for him. And then at home against Real Salt Lake, you had a few more shots, but you only had two shots on goal. Ponce had one. Now, it's not all on one player. I see a lot of the fans, and you can call in here if you want to chime in, 713-780-3776. I see a lot of fans like, you cherry pick, right? Oh, Mikael, he cleaned up so much last year. Yes, he did. But he also took a lot of benefit out of Eric Svechenko, who has struggled to get fit here. Svechenko played 45 in the last game. But yes, you had an athletic center back that cleaned things up. But if you're looking at the Portland game, your midfield didn't protect your back four very well. They were getting cut through like a hot knife to butter at times. So the Dynamo didn't deal with the transition game. I'm almost wondering if it might have been a good night. I don't want to second guess. It's easy. But that's what we have to do to provide opinion here and discussion. Maybe you start Junior Urso as well alongside Artur just to give you experience and nullify that counterattack, certainly for the first 45 minutes. Jack McGlynn's trying to be Hector Herrera. It's hard to be that. He's dropping deep. He switches the play very nicely. He's got a very cultured left foot. Had the bad back pass, which led to one of the goals. But that's a tough place to go into and control the tempo. Not making any excuses because the Dynamo possession game is not as good as it once was. There's no question. Coco Carrasquilla leaves. Hector Herrera leaves. Your possession game's not going to be as good. And that means you're not going to be as good a defending team because you can't control the tempo of games with the ball as well now. Plus, the Dynamo are playing slightly more direct at times. So they're going to have to figure it out. That's going to come with, I would assume, players. We'll talk to Pat Onstad in the third segment a lot about this. But the Dynamo were fortunate to be down only 2-1 at the half. And their game is a narrow game, and their game is controlling it. And you hear Ben Olsen talk about this repeatedly. Controlling the game through ball possession and the pace of the game methodical. And get into the final third of an opponent. A lot of times they're settled, but they want to keep moving the ball quickly to try and find opportunities to get overloads and two versus ones out wide and get delivery in. The problem is that it's against very settled defenses. But if they're second balls, then the Dynamo like to repress and turn it into immediate chances. They only have 1.67 shots on goal per game. That's last in the league. The attack was a problem even to a degree, but less so, when Hector Herrera had that wonderful 2023 season. But he was making special plays. Nobody's doing that now. And then you'll see players like Amin Bassi, talented player, hardworking Sebastian Kowalczyk. Without those higher-end players, they're asked to do more. And they're now looking not as effective as they once did. You got a goalkeeping issue now. Your two goalkeepers have gotten hurt, Andrew Tarbell, Jimmy Maurer. I don't know if the Dynamo are going to try to develop a vertical game. They may do that a little bit more when Lawrence Sonali and Nelson Quiñones Jr. come back. I think they're in desperate need of somebody on the left side with a left foot to make the build a little easier. Because it's not easy when you're playing the left back position and you're right footed. So we can take some Dynamo calls, 713-780-3776. Doesn't get easier. They got LAFC this coming weekend. Quick word here for LamontBrands.com. Get your Soccer Matters t-shirt. Your proceeds go to the Snowdrop Foundation 501c charity. Just had a great cancer event with the Dynamo Soccer Club, the youth club, and Olivier Finidori, LamontBrands.com. And if you need t-shirts for your soccer teams or your club, that's a great place to go and get them. Some other news and notes, and these are some pretty interesting ones. Aston Villa, Marcus Rashford, who kind of fell out of sight at Manchester United. They got a 3-1 win. He had two goals against Preston North End. He got them in 5 minutes. One was a penalty kick, his first goal since joining Villa in January. So let's see if Marcus Rashford's going to make the comeback. By the way, Preston North End is the club that the Dynamo signed, as many of you know, Dwayne Holmes, who will come to the Dynamo. And we're going to ask Pat Onstad about him tonight. We're going to ask Pat Onstad about Andre Linger, the new, technically he's a designated player coming in here tonight. We're going to talk about him as well. You got three winless teams in Major League Soccer. Right now, Peter Vermees has been relieved from Sporting Kansas. I tell you what a job that guy did, changing the entire culture. He's had a rough couple of seasons, but, boy, you would be remiss not to really honor Peter Vermees for what he's done in Kansas City, because I remember calling Kansas City Wizards games in Arrowhead Stadium, and there was 1,500 to 2,000. So real credit to Peter Vermees for what he has done. You got the L.A. Galaxy. They're winless. Greg Vanney has won an MLS Cup. Vermees won an MLS Cup. I think Toronto and Montreal also, it's five winless teams. Marco Donadei at Montreal, and Toronto it's Robin Fraser, and then us in Houston. Austin FC, three straight wins. Musical chairs with coaches. They picked up Nico Estevez from FC Dallas, who was fired. He's now at Austin, and then FC Dallas with the Houston product, Eric Quill, are now 3-2-1. There you go. Adidas is going to release a third kit for all MLS teams. This according to a website or, no, sorry, a Twitter. I don't know. Maybe it's Instagram. Footy headlines. Sporting Kansas City fans wrote a letter to management, by the way, wanting Peter Vermees out, which that must have been pretty difficult to do. 703-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Bill Nuttall. And we're going to talk Hank Steinbrecher. And we certainly are going to miss Hank. What a personality he was. Also a member of the U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame. This is Whitesnake. My friends at Cactus Music are going to be glad I brought Whitesnake to you. I want to do a read here also for Senate Avenue Brewery. By the way, we're live there next Tuesday. I hope you get out. It's up to 90. Small batch brewery, open 7 days of the week for lunch and dinner. It's all craft beer. It's amazing. We're going to have a Dynamo player up there. I've got Gede Guerrieri from Texas A&M and Brian Lee from Rice University. We're going to do two segments with them. If you are the parent of a youth soccer player, we're going to talk the recruiting process. We're going to talk the changes in the NCAA. It's going to be great to have these two guys in here, and we're going to really do some educating and connection there with youth soccer parents who want to come in there with their sons or daughters to learn more. It's Senate Avenue Brewery, up 290. You take the Senate Avenue exit. Kitchen features American Grill and Pub Cuisine, burgers, wings, pizza, award-winning beer, tap room and patio, seven big-screen TVs. Great place. Patio, dog-friendly. Owner loves the sport of soccer. I love going up there once a month. This will be our second live show, so come on out and support us. And support all these sponsors you hear on this show, because most of them are small or medium-level businesses, and they are supporting your game. As we go to break here, one quick shout-out. We do have our good friends at Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture. Get over and see Jan Christensen, DanishInspirations.com. Let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's talk the legendary Hank Steinbrecher.
The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
The Astros have potentially three moves that are very, very bold. It takes huge cojones. Altuve, Trey Tucker, potentially Cam Smith. If the Astros win the division after doing all of those things, they're going to look really good. Dana Brown and his front office is going to look very good.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 as we continue on here tonight. Pat Onstad coming up in the next segment, the Houston Dynamo president of soccer operations. But right now, we begin a segment, and the show tonight is a tribute to Hank Steinbrecher, the former Secretary General of U.S. Soccer. And as we welcome you back, I welcome in not only a former teammate of his, also a great, great friend of his, also worked with him at U.S. Soccer, and he is Bill Nuttall. And Bill joins us now, I believe, from Tennessee. Bill, thanks so much for coming on the show tonight.
Glenn, pleasure is all mine. Thank you for having me on, and glad to be talking with you again.
So in the first segment, I outlined some of the amazing accomplishments of Hank Steinbrecher. I got an email from you, and it said he was in 10 Hall of Fames, elected to 10 Hall of Fames. I want to start with you for my audience with Hank, Secretary General of the U.S. Soccer Federation, and you working with him. Just take us into that.
Well, you know, you have your soccer audience right now, and they're heavily involved with MLS. They're heavily involved with the U.S. national team. You know, there's so much social media out there now, and it's really top of mind to anybody that is a soccer fan or soccer player. In 1990, let me digress for a second. 1990, the World Cup was in Italy. And the U.S. did not do very well in Italy because they went over there with a college all-star team, basically. And there was no pro leagues or anything like that. So the U.S. was awarded the World Cup for 1994. And the rest of the world was very skeptical that they would give a third world country in soccer the World Cup, because if you recall, it was always in a big country. It's always in a Brazil or a Germany or an England. And here it was coming to the USA. And now what do you do? You don't have a pro league. You don't have players playing in Europe. You really don't have any basis for why you should be hosting the World Cup. And that's when Alan Rothenberg was elected to be the president. And he hired Hank Steinbrecher as his Secretary General and CEO. So that basically put U.S. soccer on notice that they needed to professionalize the entire process for the World Cup and figure out a way to make the U.S. national team competitive during that World Cup. So that's where Hank was hired by Alan Rothenberg, and then I was hired as the general manager of national teams to start with the preparation for 3 years to get the team ready to play and try to professionalize the team and also have a standing national team where we would train and play somewhere in the world every 10 days. So that sets it up for what happened in 1994 and how Hank and Alan, and Hank as the Secretary General of U.S. Soccer, had to set the culture, the tempo, the strategy to make sure that we had the proper team ready to go and a competitive team from 94. Hopefully that makes sense.
That's good chronology for everybody. We're talking about Hank Steinbrecher, who was the Secretary General, a huge imprint on the game in this country and the structure of it. He was so interesting because he combined so many things. I mean, he came out, he was coaching at different colleges, last one being Boston University. Then he goes into the corporate world. He was so multi-talented. I remember I was at a convention and I had to introduce him, and I was just blown away by what an amazing public speaker he was too. Take us into Hank, your friend.
Hank is a very intelligent guy. He's very well-read, and he had the gift. A lot of people call him Reverend Hank because he always gave an inspirational speech wherever he went. And he was absolutely the perfect person to take over as Secretary General. There was very little communication with the state associations, the adult associations. Anything involving soccer in the USA, there was very little communication. And Hank set out. He set out and started spreading the gospel as to what was going to take place in the World Cup in 94, how it was going to take place, how the states and everyone else needed to be involved. And he really, really rallied every aspect of soccer. And that was, and he was going state by state, speech by speech. And it was very impressive what he did to get people to rally around the cause of the 94 World Cup.
Talking to Bill Nuttall, a great friend, teammate, also worked with Hank Steinbrecher at U.S. Soccer. I want you to touch on Hank as the mentor to so many, and not only all of us from Davis and Elkins College in West Virginia, who are all very proud of Hank and have a lot of pride in our small school, but I just know he's touched so many, mentored so many at different levels. He always seemed to have time for people, Bill.
You're exactly right, having time for people. I think Hank, I know that when you would meet Hank for the first time, you felt like you were the only person in the room. He made it very special to understand who you were, what you're doing, what your passion was, and how he could help you. And it was not just lip service. He was very inspirational, and his follow-up with everybody that he said, if he says to you, I'm going to get back to you in 3 days with some information, he was back to you in 3 days with whatever he said he was offering. So he was an inspirational speaker, and he also was an inspiration to people. He gave them many, many opportunities, including me. He trusted me with the men's national team as a general manager to manage the coach, the team, and everything involving building up to the 94 World Cup. This was just one of many things that he has done. I can't even begin to tell you how many people, since Hank has passed, have contacted me and said, you know, he did this for me, he did that for me, he mentored me. I called, I was having a problem, he followed up. You know, he always had time for everybody, and he managed to fill the days with that, but making people feel real important, and also he cared about them, and they knew that.
No question. We're talking about Hank Steinbrecher, who recently passed. Huge loss for soccer in this country and to so many, and as we're talking to Bill Nuttall, his great friend. Bill, give us one of your most memorable stories with Hank, and I know there's a ton of them, but maybe you have one of real interest that you could quickly tell us.
I think, you know, it's just there's so many things that took place in the build up to 94. Finding, you know, it's hard even for someone to understand what we went through in 90 to 94, not from a hardship standpoint, but just the development of soccer. And here was Hank had the vision that we needed a standing national team. We needed to find a training center where we could train regularly, and Hank was very heavily involved in making sure that we had what they call went out to several cities that who would want to host the men's national team for the next 2.5 years. And this is very instrumental in that the city of Mission Viejo stepped up, and we based the team out of, you know, Southern California, just south of L.A. in a town called Mission Viejo. But this is just one of those stories where Hank had the vision, let's figure out how we're going to do this. And I was obviously involved because I'm going to be the general manager, so we have to figure out how to do that. But it's Hank's, the stories and what Hank does and how he moves forward as a visionary, I think, it's hard to put into one story. He has done so many things as we started to look back on it.
Talking to Bill Nuttall, we're talking about recently passed Hank Steinbrecher. All right, he was on your national championship team at Davis and Elkins. This will be the last one. Just quickly speak about that national title year. Greg Myers was your coach, and Hank and you guys winning an NAIA title for Davis and Elkins. Great group of guys. I've gotten to meet a lot of them.
Sure. Well, in 1968, we won the national championship. Hank came in 1969. We lost in the national championship to Eastern Illinois, which a guy by the name of Shellis Hyman was one of the players on that team, who has been in the MLS quite a few years with Dallas and what have you. And then in 1970, we won the national championship again by beating Quincy, Illinois. So Hank was a left back out of Mitchell Junior College, tough New York guy, left-footed, hard-nosed, but a quality player and a really good teammate. And, you know, I can always count on Hank on the left side that nothing was going to get by. And that's where we ended up as the national championship champions again.
Well, Bill, listen, thank you so much for coming on. I know it's a tough time for the Davis and Elkins soccer community and the sport as a whole in the United States, because Hank's connection to so many people was pretty remarkable. Bill, thank you so much for coming on tonight. You were excellent.
All the best, Glenn. A pleasure talking with you, and thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, the one and only Bill Nuttall. Great guy. And Hank Steinbrecher, U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame, recently passing. What a loss for soccer in this country and to so many of us who had connection with him. Remarkable person, always willing to help, presided over some of the most historic time periods of soccer in this country, all the while making time for everyone, myself included. Mentor, guiding light for so many, always had the interests of the game at heart. Our condolences to the Steinbrecher family. Big thank you, as always, to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. Look, we're not on the air without them. DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. Car, boat, motorcycle, maritime, you get in an accident, you need the best in personal injury attorneys. It is the Daspit Law Firm. A big thank you to them. Also, you heard the spot for the Inland Soccer Tournament. It's coming. It's exciting. It's a great opportunity for youth players to get out on May 10th at the Third Coast Sand Complex, 5652 Forney. It's 4 versus 4 with a goalkeeper. You can have 8 rostered players. It's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be one of those tournaments I think you can enter your youth players and kind of keep the adults out of it. Just let them play and have fun. Go to inlandsoccer.com. Use the promo code Soccer Matters. Let's take a break. When we come back, we got more to come. Break music here. This is brought to you by the legendary Cactus Music.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Big reminder, you catch Houston Dynamo matches out at Senate Avenue Brewing, up to 90, a new sponsor for this show, so big thank you. The Senate Avenue Brewery. I got to tell you, the Copper Ale out there is outstanding. We're going with a live show there next Tuesday at 6 Central Time. So I hope you can get out there. We're going to have a lot of fun out at Senate Avenue Brewery. Also, just want to give a shout out here to Advantage BMW. I've been going to them for years. I'm on car number 5 or 6 now. Just picked up brand new X5. The car is amazing. absolutely amazing. So get down to Advantage BMW, tell them Soccer Matters, or tell them Glenn sent you, and they will work with you to get you into the ultimate driving machine. All right, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, also this weekend, all the best in soccer from around the world at Hugh O'Connor's Pub. All right, let's go to the president of soccer operations of the Houston Dynamo. He is Pat Onstad. He joins us now. Pat, so much thankfulness for you coming on the show tonight.
Thanks for having me.
We always appreciate it. I wish it could be under a little bit better conditions, but plenty of time to go. So we appreciate you jumping out no matter what. All right, so I want to get a lot in with you, and the fans have been asking me to ask a lot of questions. So can we start with some player updates?
Sure. Right. I think for us, Andres Linger is, we're just waiting for a work permit for him from Czech Republic. We're hoping in the next 2 weeks. It's usually about how long it takes, 2 to sometimes 3 weeks. We're hoping for the shorter end. And Pablo Ortiz, center back, Colombian center back, coming from Slovakia. So he's in the same process as well, waiting for his visa. He's probably a few more days ahead of Linger, as we got that deal done a little bit earlier. But those two guys should be here hopefully within the next couple of weeks available for our group.
Dynamo president of soccer operations, he's Pat Onstad. Is Ortiz being brought to be a starter, Pat?
Yeah, right now we get him to come in and compete for minutes. I mean, he's a good fit in terms of our group, has a lot of pace, left-footed. So we'll see how he fits in with our group. I think if you're looking in the back, the big one for us is getting Eric Shevchenko back on the field. I thought when he played in the second half against Portland, he settled us down in the back, and we need to get him back on the field full-time. I think that will help, a young Femi Odoruso beside him. So hopefully we can get that going this coming up weekend.
Lawrence Sonali, Nelson Quiñones timetable.
Yeah, Nelson is probably, we're hoping. I think we've talked about this before. Injury was very severe compared to Anali's. I mean, he's certainly longer than we expected. We were thinking more the first half, and it was 10 to 12 months, and it's probably going to be more like 14 to 16 months. So I think earliest, probably 4 weeks, we're hoping before six, something like that. Anali, on the other hand, he's 7 months in from his surgery. He's progressing really well. If all things go to plan, then we would probably release him around 9 month mark. So probably another couple of months for him. And then the other one that we have in house that no one's been able to see either is Dwayne Holmes, which, had the unfortunate leg break when we pretty much had everything done. But he's getting back on the field. So he's out jogging around. So we're hoping with him 2 to 3 weeks, probably. So that's what we'd hope for with these guys.
I'm going short with the questions because I want you to do the talking, not me. Goalkeeping position and the injury issues. Will you look for another goalkeeper? What's the situation there?
Yeah, I think I think with Andrew gone, we started looking right away. There's a few ways to go about it. There's to go and spend a lot of money, and that'll take away from other positions that we're targeting. Or you can get what's called an injury replacement. So you have to go find a goalkeeper that kind of is the same salary level as Andrew, and you can try to do that. So we've been working pretty hard. We're hoping we can get something done here in the next week or so, but we'll see how that plays out. We'd like to bring someone in. I think Blake's filled in pretty admirably, and it's probably one of the two worst environments, I think, in our league to play in, in Seattle for 25 minutes and obviously in Portland. So he's made a couple of big saves for us and certainly did well in the Seattle game. And this last game, you certainly wouldn't put the results on him.
Generating chances, shots on goal, only 4 in the last 2 games. Granted, two of these were road games, but that doesn't make any difference. Your striker, Ezequiel Ponce, only has 1 shot on target in the last 3 games. Is this more about a tactical setup? What are the solutions here? Because I know you guys are working at it. We've had Ben on talking about the off season. We're working on the attack. It just doesn't seem to be moving.
No, I think we expected Nelson back from the center. We need someone to stretch the line, and unfortunately, to be as kind as I can, I think Ebert's struggling a little bit right now to stretch the line for us, and so therefore, Ben, and this is one of Ben's greatest strengths is he tries to get the most of what he has, and you know, we're playing three very similar players in terms of Nico Ladero, Amin Bassi, and Sebastian Kowalczyk in midfield. So while they can usually maintain possession and create little combinations at the top of the box, there's no one threatening behind. There's no extra bodies in the box when we do get behind, or it's rare that there are extra bodies. And then for the center backs, they can just key in on Ponce. And, you know, he's always, you know, one versus two. It makes it difficult for him to find any space and for us to be able to find him the ball. So I certainly wouldn't put this on Ponce, that's for sure. I think, you know, for us, we're going to have to keep grinding away. I mean, the best way to put it, I think, Glenn, for us is we're kind of in a race against time. Like, if we can get all these guys back healthy and fit, I like our group. You know, we could get some people that can stretch the line on the left. We get Linger in that can get in the box and create problems, get some more depth at center back, you know, possibly another goalkeeper. I think we get in a pretty good place. But right now, you know, we're, you know, it's been a rough patch. It's been a rough patch.
Pat Onstad, president of soccer operations. You know, not one of the best starts, obviously.
No.
You lost four starters last year, and I know you sensed this was not going to be perfect going into the season with the schedule handed to you. But, you know, what you hear a lot of fans say is they'll say, well, why weren't we prepared for the loss of these starters? And I'm sure there's other reasons why maybe you didn't get players over the line. But can you take us behind the scenes a little bit more there? Because when you lose those four guys, I mean, it's not the same team. We all see it.
No. And we went in saying, okay, we're going to need a goalkeeper and someone to replace Hector and Nate. And, you know, that's what we set out. We thought we had in-house Andrew Tarbell, obviously, is now out as goalkeeper. And then we went and picked up a young player, Jack McGlynn, who's still young. He's 21 years old. He's still going to make mistakes, but he also does some things that are pretty special on the ball. So, I think for McGlynn, that's been good. But the issue is we went into the offseason thinking those are the two guys we need to replace and concentrate on those. We've been trying to sell Coco for 2.5 years, and an offer kind of came to the last second. So that was a piece we definitely were looking at. You know, that's the Linger piece. Took a little while longer than we'd hoped, but that's trying to deal with clubs at this time of year where they don't want them to lose their players in the winter. So it took us a little bit longer than we wanted. And then the Mikel one, I think for us, is, I wouldn't say it caught us by surprise, but it seemed like the European window was closed. So we thought we were kind of good, but I think we talked about this last time.
You know,
Brazil knows that, and they wait, and Palmeiras is not going to be outbid by anybody, and they're not going to have any threats from Europe. So, unfortunately for us, I think that was the one where we thought we were going to be okay, and I think it just gets multiplied. It just makes it worse when Eric Shevchenko's not able to get on the field for us. I think had he been on the field, he can just really settle us down. He's a good experienced pro, and he can make everyone else around him better. He's a good organizer. Not having him is probably been a big piece of that as well.
Pat Onstad, president of soccer operations, Houston Dynamo. Appreciate him coming on the show today. Now, this one's a little bit out there, Pat, but yeah. Jaimes Rodriguez was available. We have massive Colombians here. They love the game. Was there ever a thought or a possibility that potentially you could have made a run at bringing him to Houston and being an absolute game changer potentially for this franchise?
I mean, there's always thoughts and there's also always possibilities. You know, at the time, I think when you go into those conversations and we have, you know, Coco in the building and it's a little tight, so you're just not sure where everything's going to fit. So, you know, that's a big expense for if you don't have a clear position for him. Granted, he might be better than some guys we have here. I don't think many of the guys would probably argue that. It's tricky. You know, you're asking. We've committed a lot to some of these guys, and we believe in them. And, you know, right now things are going well, but I believe in this group. I believe we have a good group here, and we can turn this thing around.
Pat, do you have concerns about the confidence of Ezequiel Ponce or Aliyu at this stage? You know, not getting a lot of looks, not getting chances, not getting behind defenses.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Ponce does a lot of other stuff off the ball that maybe doesn't get recognized. I mean, he's tremendous presser. He makes it very difficult for teams to play through us. He does a really good job up top pressing. And again, I think he's another striker that needs service. And if you don't get enough touches in the box, he's not going to score, and no striker is going to score goals. So I don't think that's a Ponce problem. I think that's... for us just to get him more opportunities and more looks. When we've done that, I think he's been pretty successful. But unfortunately, right now, he's been a little bit starved for service. But that's a little bit to do with our group and where we're at now. But we still stayed in these games. I would say one thing, and Ben's right, told the group this morning, so if we got to stop shooting ourselves in the foot. The goals we've been giving up this year of something you hadn't seen, certainly in the 3 years that I've been here. I think we give up a goal, a different way, a bad goal, a different way every game. So we've got to stop doing that and limiting that, and then hopefully we can start creating some opportunities and not always chasing games.
Talking to Pat Onstad. Pat, so amazing year in 2023. Amazing season for Herrera. You guys get to the Western Conference final. You darn near got to the MLS Cup final. I'm thinking, okay, now the bar is next year we get to the MLS Cup final. Hector gets the injury. He doesn't seem as committed to the cause, in my opinion. That's just from the outside, so I don't really know for sure. But wasn't that the year you were going to try to win the MLS Cup after 2023? Because now it seems we're in a rebuild, right?
Well, I wouldn't say we're in a rebuild, but I would say last year we had hoped to progress farther in the playoffs. We, finished the season with 3 more points and actually finished a place lower than we did from the year before. So, unfortunately, I think we all know how the playoffs played out for us. So, for us, the big one is to try to regroup and keep going forward this year. We knew it would be tricky when, losing Hector and Steve, but I think the other two, Coco and Mikel, we still haven't quite got those guys in place yet, but they're on the way, and we think we can move forward once we get our group together.
Tell us a little bit more about Linger and what type of player he is.
Yeah, he's more of a vertical. I mean, I guess if you call him a 10 or attacking midfielder, he's a guy that has a great engine, gets in the box well. He'll get on the end of crosses. He's not a super tall guy, but great header of the ball. He's not the final pass type of 10. He's more of a goal scoring or get in the box and maybe lays one off or finds Ponce. But what we're hoping for is it'll allow us to be a little more vertical on both sides of the field, and it also alleviate a little bit of stress for Ponce and hopefully open up a little bit more room with a few more guys getting into the box.
I see reports he could be bought down with Tam and you could potentially get another DP. Is that truth?
It's possible. The deal, that's yep. One reason why it took a little bit longer. We had to make sure we kind of get him into that cap range from the buy and the salary, but that took some work, so it's possible.
Pat, you're the best. I was going to ask you about Obafemi Odesu real quick. I think he's done great.
He has done well. He has done well, and I think get Derek beside him, he'll do even better.
Pat, thank you so much for being so candid. Thank you for coming on tonight. We appreciate it.
No, thanks, Glenn. Appreciate
all right. That's Pat Onstad, president of soccer operations. Got to give him credit. A lot of GMs or technical directors would have bagged out on it and not done the interview. So you got to give him credit. Pat Onstad, they're joining us tonight. Big night in tribute to Hank Steinbrecher. Big thank you to Brian McDonald. We're back on the air tomorrow night. We're going to do a lot more international tomorrow night. So join me tomorrow night. Thank you for tuning in, everyone.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.